Welcome back to the Keystone Kickoff Show, brought to you by Halt Daddy Hazy IPA, award-winning beer by Greater Good Brewing, built by Penn Staters for PA. Look for the green can at your local retailer.
Hello and welcome to the Keystone Kickoff Show. I'm Jim Galante. He is Andy Shea. Andy, how you doing? It's Super Bowl week.
Yeah, it is Super Bowl week. Fly Eagles fly, right? For everybody in Philly. I'm not a big Eagles guy, but I mean, I don't care who wins. I'm just going to enjoy the football game. I think it's going to be a great matchup. I think there'll be some points scored. So enjoy the game. Yeah, Super Bowl 59.
Yeah,
you're an Eagles fan. You're an Eagles fan.
I forgot. I am. I'm pumped for the game, Andy. And I think it's a good one. I think it's a good matchup. I think it is also the two best teams in the NFL. I'm also, as a Penn Stater, I'm excited about seeing Saquon Barkley. And just as an aside, this was not on our agenda, but as long as we mentioned the Super Bowl, I've never been the kind of guy that, a Penn State guy is playing on this team, so I got to watch them in the NFL. But somehow it feels different with Saquon on the Eagles. It feels more like must watch for me. And I think it's the case for a lot of Penn State fans.
Well, first of all, he's Saquon Barkley, and he's kind of always fun to watch. Even on the Giants, I enjoyed watching him. You knew the offensive line stunk. There was no help at the quarterback position. When he was healthy, he is always dynamic, right? Like you always feel like he's one or two steps or breaking one tackle away from going 64 yards. It just feels like that more. Obviously, with the Eagles, he's healthy. That's the first and most important thing, right? Like he's been healthy. He's been, well above healthy, above the board healthy than he, in comparison with any season. Pretty much with the Giants. He has been healthy. That offensive line is the best in football. And that there's just no other way to put it. That offensive line, when healthy and whole, is the best in the NFL. And he has figured out how to run behind them. It's Jimmy, he's on the verge of breaking Terrell Davis's most yards in the NFL for any season, including playoffs and regular season games, right? Like, okay, Davis will have done it in less games. But remember, Saquon took the last game off just for fun and because he didn't need to play. So bottom line is he needs like 30 yards. That's historical. That's memorable. And the way he's impacting football games is dynamic. That's why it's so much fun, especially just me as a football fan. But if you're a Penn State fan, he's big on his Penn State roots. It gives you a reason to watch and root for the Eagles week in and week out.
And just one last note on that all-time rushing record, even for the regular season, if he played in that last game, he probably would have gotten the record. And it was, there were critics who were like, well, he's playing an extra game. But you do know he had fewer carries, though, okay?
Correct.
So it's not like it's just he's an accumulator of numbers. And you talked about how exciting, how dynamic he is. That's really the case on the Eagles. I mean, just feels like at any moment he could take it to the house. You know, when the first play from scrimmage, he ends up going to the house. It's just a special thing. So I'm hoping he has a big game, obviously, with my Eagles fandom. All right, Andy, how about we set the Super Bowl aside, get to the Penn State football, which is what we were supposed to talk about. And I got to admit, and I've talked a bit about this on other shows, Andy, but I wanted to talk to you about it. I am just totally fascinated with how things are changing and developing at the quarterback position in college football. And it just feels like you look at the college football championship game. It was Ohio State, Notre Dame. It was Will Howard versus Riley Leonard. Two veteran guys who started elsewhere, move over to their teams to great success. And we've been seeing that through the last couple of years. Michael Penix, Bo Nix, the list goes on and on of guys who've been starting elsewhere, make the move. And I guess I'm looking at it not from the player perspective, but from the team perspective and this dynamic that seems to have changed where it's like, you know, we don't need to develop our own quarterback, Andy. We just go out there and find one. Curtis Rourke at Indiana is another great example.
Yeah, it's not quite that simple, Jimmy. So it's a bit of a mess because I don't think there's any one sort of case or scenario or reason. Quarterbacks in college football, it's now full-blown free agency, Jimmy. With the numbers that move. I mean, look, Penn State lost its backup. So I tried to think about, like, how to quantify this. Yeah, you named a few guys and cherry-picked off the top. Those guys moved for opportunity to higher level. But it's not like at Kansas State and Duke, they were stuck in the, you know, in the badlands of college football. You know what I mean? Like, it was just they had opportunities or they saw an opportunity at a much higher level. Those are a very small piece of the pie, Jimmy. You know what I mean? Like, those kind of opportunities where you leave, in Will Howard's case, like, you leave Kansas State. He was a good quarterback, solid program. Wasn't necessarily unhappy there. It's just Ohio State wanted him as their quarterback. First of all, there's a money factor, and we'll get into that. So there's very few of these opportunities to move and go from a stable, respectable, good college football program, quarterback you recruited, develop. Some guys are moving two and three times, but I'm saying generally speaking, to move to an upper tier to have an opportunity to win championships, right, at the next level. So that is, those opportunities are few. The general consensus, the general population of quarterbacks is looking for opportunity to start slash play slash start, right? Like, that is what they're looking for. And then there's another group that are starters and just leave and go in the transfer portal, USC quarterback. That doesn't make any sense to me. So why would you leave USC and Lincoln Riley as your coach? I mean, okay, they're struggling a little bit, but are you going to go to Ohio State? Are you going to go to one of those, Georgia, for example? There's a ton of quarterbacks in there. In the transfer portal, it is full-blown free agency to me. Is it about money? Is it about opportunity? Yes, and yes, the highest opportunities are few and far between. Carson Beck, was he told at Georgia, was he told, we're moving on, right? Clearly at Ohio State, right? Kyle McCord moved to Syracuse from Ohio State, told we're moving on, right? We're going to move on. You're not going to be our starting quarterback. Is that the case with Carson Beck? He got injured. Are you saying you get injured as a quarterback after leading your team to the SEC championship game? And then you're like, yeah, we're done. So the programs, are they partly responsible for sort of their own undoing a little bit? Yes, but I don't know, does recruiting and development of the quarterback position really matter anymore? Kind of, but it seems less relevant than the free agent transfer portal side of it. I don't know, Jimmy. I still, it's a very difficult minefield for me to wrap my head around because there's so many wheels to the spoke. It's changed so much in the last 3 years, for example, Jimmy. The last 3 years, it's changed so much that there really isn't anything that you can say is this works or this is the path of best resistance. It's just everyone's kind of in a let's figure out who our quarterback's going to be and we'll figure out the rest of it later. Like, I would argue Penn State needs a quarterback. They might need a backup. They could use a backup quarterback, but you're not finding backup quarterbacks in the transfer portal, right? Your backup quarterback left because Drew Aller's your quarterback. So it's a very, very, very difficult proposition for me because I see it, I'm watching it, and I don't know what to think. That's just the most simple way to put it. It confuses me as much as it impresses me. How's that?
Well, Andy, that was a long way to go there. And I think, though, you talk about from the player's perspective, money's going to be part of that decision.
Yes.
Obviously. Opportunity to play is going to be part of that decision. But I'm looking at it from the team angle. If I'm an Indiana and Oregon, Washington and Ohio State and Notre Dame, one of the ways to get my quarterback, of course, is to recruit them out of high school and develop them. However, it's beginning to look like not only is going to the portal a viable option, it might even be the preferable option. And a high school kid, and we've talked about this through the years, doesn't matter if it's a five-star quarterback coming out of high school, it's a crapshoot, okay? But if I see, here's a guy who, I'll use Indiana as an example. Last year, it was Curtis Schwartz that they brought in. This year, they're taking a successful quarterback from Cal and bringing him in. Now, I don't know how many stars the kid had when he went to Cal, but the fact that he went to Cal tells me he was not highly recruited. And, Kyle McCord, the example he brought up from Ohio State, was highly recruited. They got him and pretty much said, you know what? Not sure this is the guy who's going to take us to the promised land. Let's go out and find a veteran who we think can get us there. And they came up with Will Howard. Now, we're coming up to the end of the segment, Andy, so I don't want to send it over to you and cut you short. I'll let you respond when we come back. But that's what's intriguing to me is this now becoming not a last resort, but actually part of our strategic thinking in filling the quarterback position? I'm going to let you respond to that, Andy, when we come back. Every day is a great day to join us at Cafe 210 West to enjoy our daily drink specials. Mondays, it's the Cafe Tea Pitcher for $5. Tuesday, Smirnoff Pitchers for $7. Wednesday, Bacardi Pitchers are $7. And Thursdays, enjoy Cafe Tea Pitchers for $5. All week, we have half-off draft beer and cafe tea from 9 to 11 p.m. and 6 to 8 p.m. on Fridays. So get the gang together and come on down to Cafe 210.
Welcome back to the Keystone Kickoff Show, brought to you by Halt Daddy Hazy IPA, award-winning beer by Greater Good Brewing, built by Penn Staters for PA. Look for the green can at your local retailer.
Hello and welcome back to the Keystone Kickoff Show. It's quarter number two. He's Andy Shea. I'm Jim Galante. And Andy, in quarter number one, we were talking about the quarterback position in college football, how it's my feeling that it's changing. You talked about from the player's perspective, it is free agency. Obviously, it's also free agency for the teams, but I get the feelings even going a step further where this is almost part of the strategy. You know what? Why worry about getting to the high schools? It's a crapshoot there. I could go get someone who's experienced, has a season or two, is starting under their belt. I get to find out if they're a college-level quarterback, and I just go get them.
This is where a little bit where I feel from the program. Yes, you're right. I think you have to have two paths for your quarterback internally for an individual program. You have to have, your recruiting and your development plan, but now you need to have just as important and just as equally, you have to explore as a second option is there somebody who's already done it that could do it better for us? Here's where I think sort of your stature, where the rich get richer, the strong get a little stronger, right? Like, you're going to have now, there are examples where it's coming, you know, we gave one for Ohio State, which, by the way, Kyle McCord will probably be the better NFL prospect than Will Howard. But that's beside the point. My point is, you're going, the upper tier teams are not going to have to do as much quarterback development, maybe. They can do more quarterback free agent signing. You see what I'm saying? The lower level teams, you know, a team, say, for example, like Mississippi State, right? A team like Vanderbilt. Okay, maybe they get a Missouri and Bo Prabula. That's a good example. They're developing one, and they're looking at a transfer portal as their opportunity to be their starter. So the lower level teams are still going to have to develop quarterback because you need a quarterback. It's you have to understand now, I think in the modern game, that A, they're most likely or more often than not going to enter the transfer portal and look for another opportunity. So it could end up being, I'm just saying big picture and a little bit more into the future, it could be where the power get more powerful and the rich get richer when it comes to free agency and the quarterback. Because they have revenue and they have opportunity. Greater opportunity.
And the whole, you know, rich get richer, Andy, I know that's the great fear everybody has with NIL. You know, Texas, Ohio State,
yeah,
they're at the top of the heap. They got all the money. So, but I don't think that has, at least so far, proven to be the case. I think we're getting more parity in the game. We don't have those very, very elite teams. I think part of it is the NIL and transfer portal also goes the other direction.
Correct.
You know, Ohio State is a perfect case here when you talk about, you know, Kyle McCord, who, you know, in another day and age, he would have ended up coming back to Ohio State, fighting for the starting position, maybe gotten it, maybe not. They obviously were down on him, but he ended up making Syracuse relevant.
They won 10 games, Jimmy.
Your point, Andy, earlier about saying Kyle McCord is probably the better NFL prospect than Will Howard, that actually makes my point in that Ohio State is said, you know what, Kyle McCord, yeah, he's pretty good, all that, but you know what? Not a great fit for us here. And you know, it's like, so what do we do? Well, we've got a couple, you know, freshmen, redshirt freshmen. Do we hand the keys over to them? Hey, we're looking for a national championship, not the direction we want to go this year. Oh, here we go. Just go out to the portal and find not just a guy who's been sitting somewhere who we think has potential. We could go cherry pick a starter, a guy with experience elsewhere. Yeah. And Riley Leonard was a starter at Duke. He was the guy, but Notre Dame said, hey, we need a quarterback, cherry pick. I always use the Bo Nix and Michael Penix example. You cherry know, each pick. One of those guys got a new life. And, you know, Oregon, they went right back to the well the next – Dylan Gabriel.
Correct.
You know, and that's what I think is different, Andy, is that as a program – if I brought in a good quarterback who just didn't work for some reason, which, by the way, that's the way the case in a lot of places, that stud quarterback out of high school isn't the stud college player, doesn't matter anymore. It doesn't put our program behind for a few years. We could just go out and grab a veteran quarterback from elsewhere.
Yeah, you can do that. So here's where the transfer portal – the quarterback position is where the opportunity, and particularly the money, right? Like, that's where the big money is going to be. That's where all the attention is going to be. The interesting thing about the development of NIL, the transfer portal, and college rosters outside of the quarterback position is the big money free agency. It's going to stay that way. That's what I know about the quarterback position. The rest of it, you thought like the transfer portal would be a way to sort of upgrade your roster, redo your roster, and you can do it in spots. But we're finding with NIL, the biggest advantage to NIL and college football in terms of the overall roster, it's become roster retention, Jimmy. It's become keeping your team together and keeping guys in college for another year. That's the biggest surprise in this all. The quarterback position, how big it got and elevated and how quick it did, that was obviously a big surprise. I think the biggest pleasant surprise is, you know, Penn State has done a great job of it going from 24 to 25. Ohio State did it and won a national championship. Across your roster retention is where a large chunk of your NIL money can be spent. And that's a huge advantage as well.
There's no doubt that has become a strategy also. It's fascinating, yeah. Andy. Whenever rules change, there's always the case of unintended consequences. You don't know all the repercussions.
Correct.
So we have the merging of the transfer portal,
yep,
and NIL. And by the way, next year, if things go correctly, it'll also be about player compensation, the $27 million that schools are going to be allowed to pay their student athletes. And that's a whole nother discussion for another week, how that money gets distributed. But then it becomes, okay, what's the strategy? And just like any professional sport, teams who find the loophole or the angle, it soon gets copied by everybody else.
Yep.
So I think the retention thing, we saw it, well, not quite as famous, but a couple of years ago, it was Michigan who managed, correct, to keep their veteran team together. Last year, it was Ohio State who kept their veteran team together, using money as the incentive to keep the kids from going to the NFL. This year, you're right. You pointed out it's Penn State who is doing that. I think there'll be, you know, schools across the country will see that. But that means you have to start with enough talent to be able to retain it. When Deion Sanders went to Colorado and it was a 1-11 team, he wasn't about retaining that talent. He was about turning it over and bringing in from outside. And that's what everybody saw. But I'm going a long way here, Andy, to circle it back to the quarterback situation, which I guess I'm asking, you know, has the success that so many of these schools have had at the top of the pecking order, and you, right, can say, you know, I'm cherry picking those
you
teams.
You are. You definitely are.
But Andy, you know, take a look at the Big Ten's starting quarterbacks from last year, from, correct, top to bottom. Name me even a handful of homegrown quarterbacks that were the starting quarterback. You know, it starts and pretty much ends with Drew Aller at Penn State. Everybody else, you know, it's a little bit of musical chairs. Who's got a seat, you know, and who doesn't have a seat when the music stops?
Yeah, no, it is, especially in the SEC and the Big Ten, because they're the two powers. It's going to be at the quarterback position, the free agency is going to be more prevalent than the early stage development of a high school kid. I just think those two conferences have a little bit of an inherent advantage. And in this era of revenue and opportunity, they present the most. And the quarterback position, it is centered on that. It is about money and opportunity, and they present the best of both. I think it's full free agency as we know it and understand it at the quarterback position in college football. I think even the secondary path at the top levels inside the, say, top 40 programs. Maybe the secondary path is your recruiting and your development. You're still looking for that guy, but you don't necessarily have to rely on that guy. So I think it's shifting, Jimmy. I really do. And when we pictured, you know, transfer portal and NIL, when they combined, it's not an unintended consequence, but the quarterback position has literally blown up. There was a hundred plus quarterbacks were in the transfer portal this year, correct?
Well, it's the one position too, Andy, where it's not like the offensive line where there's five starters or correct. Running back guy. Where you rotate it. You're either starting or you're sitting on the bench. Right. But I think the part to it, Andy, is there's no doubt from the player perspective, it's free agency. Where's my best opportunity to play? Where's my best opportunity to make money? Where's my right. best opportunity to get to the next level? What I think where the shift is on the team side, where it's not only the Ohio States and Oregon's who are going out getting that transfer quarterback, it's Rutgers and Minnesota.
Iowa.
Those teams are doing the same thing.
Correct.
And in fact, you know, it's Rutgers going out and grabbing the Minnesota quarterback. Like, he'll do better at Rutgers. Anyway, that is it, Andy, for quarter two. Coming up, your questions, and we ask Andy. Stay tuned for that. Every day is a great day to join us at Cafe 210 West to enjoy our daily drink specials. Mondays, it's the Cafe Tea Pitcher for $5. Tuesday, Smirnoff Pitchers for $7. Wednesday, Bacardi Pitchers are $7. And Thursdays, enjoy Cafe Tea Pitchers for $5. All week, we have half-off draft beer and cafe tea from 9 to 11 p.m. and 6 to 8 p.m. on Fridays. So get the gang together and come on down to Cafe 210.
Welcome back to the Keystone Kickoff Show, brought to you by Halt Daddy Hazy IPA, award-winning beer by Greater Good Brewing, built by Penn Staters for PA. Look for the green can at your local retailer.
Hello and welcome back to the Keystone Kickoff Show. It's quarter number three. That means it's time for your questions, and we're going to ask Andy. You want to send Andy a question? Download the app, Keystone Sports. You see the Ask Andy button? And away you go. You ready, Andy?
No quarterback question, Jimmy, please. That's all I'm asking. Come on, listeners.
How about we start with a schedule question? This is Mike from Charlotte, who I think is responding from our show last week. He said, I disagree that the 2025 Penn State schedule doesn't hurt or help. I believe it helps. There seems to be no real benefit to a 9-game conference schedule. No matter your strength of schedule, just don't have two losses. 8-game conference schedule, soft out of conference schedule is actually the way to go. Right?
Well, interesting, Mike. Do you want a stronger conference schedule? Or would you rather have a more opportunistic conference schedule and have a prime matchup in your non-conference schedule? You know what I mean? Like, you want to get to your championship game, right? You want to get to your conference championship game is your, that's your guarantee.
You know, Andy, it is. But let me interrupt you for a second. I think there are some people who look at it like, really, do you really want to get to the conference championship schedule or a championship game, or do you want to get to the playoffs and have the best path there? So I think a lot of people would argue, gee, Ohio State did better than Oregon.
Wow.
I know that I'm cherry picking again.
Yeah,
Mike's point is, gee, isn't the Southeast Conference smart by only scheduling 8 conference games? And he's saying, aren't these teams dumb who are scheduling tough out-of-conference games when all you need to do, you know, he says avoid the second loss. Well, candidly, really, he should be saying avoid the third loss.
Avoid the third loss, yeah. It's the third loss, I think, that's going to put you on the outside looking in. And I don't think it matters. The SEC, how many conference games you play, Because if you have parity instead of a clear line, like in the Big Ten, it was a clear line this year, right? It wasn't parity. The SEC had parity. The SEC sort of cannibalized itself, right? They cannibalized themselves. The Big Ten might have a little bit more of that this year. I don't know.
But Mike's point is this, Andy. In the Southeast Conference, Alabama, South Carolina, Ole Miss all lost the third game. Doesn't matter what their schedule was. Irrelevant.
Irrelevant.
If they would have only lost two games instead of three, they'd be in the playoffs. That's Mike's point. It's valid. But, Mike, I think that is what is wrong. But here's what you risk by that is when it comes down to tiebreaker. Now, Indiana only had one loss. Okay, and they got in. If Indiana would have had a second loss, you know they would have gone to an Alabama or South Carolina or Ole Miss, even with a third loss. So it kind of depends also who you are. If you're Alabama, two losses, you're in. You're Indiana, may not be given the benefit of the doubt, Andy. All right, you ready to move to our Super Bowl section of our questions?
Oh, yeah, let's do it. Interesting. I didn't think we'd have these.
Well, here's Jesse from Haverford who says, "Hey, Andy, who you got in the Super Bowl, Chiefs or Eagles?" Remember, I wrote a note here. Remember who you pick. You might tick off, and he didn't use the word tick off, but you'll tick off half your listeners. I'm not asking Jim because I know he'll make a homer pick.
Yeah, I respect Kansas City and what they do. I just think, which, by the way, I think the Eagles have one of the best, if not the best, 53-man roster in the NFL. I believe that since the beginning of the season, top to bottom, depth-wise, in the right spots, elite at some spots. I just think they have more weapons. They have more defensive line depth to throw at Patrick Mahomes. It's just that guy on the biggest stage is nearly impossible to corral. Patrick Mahomes makes everybody around him that much better. If you look at their wide receivers, there's not a wide receiver one or an elite talent in them. He makes them better. But I am picking the Eagles because I think this defense and Vic Fangio will have enough to hold on. I think it's going to take points to win this game. But I think the Eagles have more firepower, more elite firepower, and enough defense to hold Kansas City off. So I'm going to pick the Eagles.
Andy, I would typically, in a game like this, go with the better quarterback. But Saquon Barkley is such an X factor, too, to make an explosive play somewhere, make a difference. So, Jesse, how's that for being a homer? Not only am I picking the Eagles, I'm picking a Penn Stater as the X factor. So take that, Jesse. All right, here's our next question related to the Super Bowl. And Andy, I love this question, and I know you will too. Susan in Reading says, "Okay, Andy, someone has got to ask the question, what's on your Super Bowl menu?"
Yeah, that's a good one. That is a good one. So it kind of depends on who's playing. So this year, I'm definitely going to, I don't care what the temperature is outside in the Northeast, I'm going to grill bratwursts.
Ooh.
Bratwurst soaks for a long time in an adult beverage beer. That is one. I like buffalo chicken dip as the sort of kickoff. Buffalo chicken dip, bratwurst, right? And are you ready, Jimmy?
Homemade
macaroni and cheese. Bratwurst. Ugh. So you've got your chips and dip. Then you've got your protein and you've got your main side dish. So this year it's going to be my buffalo chicken dip. Got some chicken in there. Bratwurst, the best. I go to a local and get it at a local place. And then you just soak them for like 48 hours in beer. And then you grill them. I put cheese on my bratwurst. Couple different kinds of mustard, some relish, whatever you want. And then homemade macaroni and cheese.
Andy, what time should I get over to the Shea household?
5:30. 5:30, because I don't want to watch all the pregame stuff.
Oh, I hate the pregame stuff. I'm with you, Andy. I'll tell you what, for me, and I'm going to stick my nose in this, if you can't, wings have to be part of, you know, any football game. And I love buffalo wings. I'm probably going to have buffalo wings this weekend, but I can go a lot of different ways with the wings, except barbecue wings. Yeah, now, I like barbecue chicken, love barbecue stuff, ribs and stuff. Barbecue sauce doesn't belong on wings though, Andy. That is my take and I'm sticking with it.
No, I'm on your team, Jimmy, because they're too sticky, they're too sweet, they become a mess, and they're not fun to eat. They're not easy to eat either. Buffalo wings done with barbecue sauce are too hard to eat. I don't mind it on my ribs. Love it on my ribs. But yes, on my chicken wings, it's just too much.
Just a last note, the bratwurst, the homemade macaroni and cheese. When I invite you and Maureen up to my house this summer for cookouts, you're bringing the bratwurst?
I can bring brats. Absolutely. I know where to get them.
There we go. There we go then, Andy. You'll have an open invite. All right. Next up, let's go to Jason in Bellefonte. Although we could have stayed down that food path for a while, I believe.
We could
have. Jason from Bellefonte says, Andy, who's the next big-time tight end at Penn State? Is it Dinkins, Luke Reynolds, Rapier, or the freshman, Andrew Olesh?
Oh, I think it's Luke Reynolds. I like Dinkins, but I think he has a higher ceiling. Reynolds does. I just, like, you can kind of see it. They see that they were forced a little bit to you. I don't know. It just seems like for what Penn State does and how they use and develop the tight ends, you know, after this long, what is it? Nearly like a, you know, almost a decade kind of. You kind of can smell it and you kind of know what it looks like. I mean, you could see it. Now, we talked about it even when in his junior season, last in 2023 season, you were like, dude, Tyler Warren's just that, blah, blah, blah. And then you start getting a little bit tongue-tied. Well, he untied your tongue this year because it blew up. So there's, see, I think it's Reynolds. What say you? Good question, Jason.
It is. It's a great question, and it feels like Luke Reynolds. But what I wonder, Andy, and we haven't seen enough of Andrew Rapier, but everybody a year ago was talking about him as being the next guy, and he lost a year from injury. I got the feeling, Andy, you know, again, I think we're going to see three tight ends that are playing this year.
We'll
see Dinkins, Rapier, and Luke Reynolds, and we'll see which one rises to the top. I suspect you're right, though, that it will be Reynolds.
Then it just, when he played, it just had that same, to me, this a feel thing. Like, you know, it's like being a, it's like that kid, that just feels like the next Penn State tight end.
And I'll also, you know, some folks will point to that, the special teams play, the fake punt.
Yeah. And no, yeah.
But to me, the part to that that's relevant is that the team trusted him enough to say, we're in a do or die situation in a fake punt formation. This is the guy who we want to have the ball in his hands. To me, that's an indicator that the team says he's the guy. So that to me is the indicator. That's the red flag, Andy, more so than, and perhaps the play itself it's the confidence they had in him. All right, that's it for quarter three. Stick around, more to go in quarter four.
Every day is a great day to join us at Cafe 210 West to enjoy our daily drink specials. Mondays, it's the Cafe Tea Pitcher for $5. Tuesday, Smirnoff Pitchers for $7. Wednesday, Bacardi Pitchers are $7. And Thursdays, enjoy Cafe Tea Pitchers for $5. All week, we have half-off draft beer and cafe tea from 9 to 11 p.m. and 6 to 8 p.m. on Fridays. So get the gang together and come on down to Cafe 210.
Welcome back to the Keystone Kickoff Show, brought to you by Hop Daddy Hazy IPA, award-winning beer by Greater Good Brewing, built by Penn Staters for PA. Look for the green can at your local retailer.
Hello and welcome back to the Keystone Kickoff Show. It's quarter number four. He's Andy. I'm Jim. We're talking Penn State football, along with a little bit of Super Bowl and Super Bowl menu, Andy. Andy, great schedule. Bratwurst, homemade mac and cheese. By the way, just
buffalo chicken dip.
The buffalo chicken dip. By the way, you mentioning the homemade mac and cheese reminded me. There's a group around here, Andy. They have a barbecue food truck.
Okay.
And whenever I see them around, I will go there because they do great barbecue stuff, great smoked ribs and stuff. But the dish I always go for is they have their mac and cheese bowl that you could either get it with pulled pork on it, pulled chicken, or brisket. And
so is that a fried ball, Jimmy? A fried mac and cheese bowl?
No. It's a bowl of macaroni and cheese.
Oh, with the protein in it.
You get it topped with your choice or a combo.
Sign me up. Yeah.
The brisket is the way to go. I went the one time with my better half. She chose the pulled pork. I chose the brisket. Pulled pork was good, Andy, but she took one forkful of my brisket, declared she picked the wrong thing. I said, well, that we call that experience, okay?
Yeah.
I've been around the block when it comes to barbecue. Can't go wrong with the brisket, Andy.
See, real quick barbecue story. Last weekend was my birthday, and my wife and I went to brunch, right? And we picked a place. It was a cool place. And I kind of knew what I was going to get, right? So I go in, and then they're like, well, we have two specials today, Jimmy. Nothing else on the menu mattered when she said one of our specials is brisket eggs Benedict.
Oh, man.
I was sitting in my chair, and I was like, did I just hear that? What menu? Yes, brisket eggs Benedict. It had been on what I would say is my I have never list. I've never had eggs Benedict, a brisket eggs Benedict. But when she said that, it was like the menu didn't exist and time stopped, and I was just sitting there going like, oh yes, and it was so good. It was so good.
So it was everything you imagined, and you know what? Andy, you know I have the smoker. I'll make ribs and chicken and pulled pork. I've never made brisket, though.
Brisket, it's the hardest.
Yes, brisket scares me.
Yeah.
Even our buddy Andrew Goldberg from 409 Tailgate will tell you that's the toughest one. He's done it, and it's phenomenal.
It's his ridiculous. Brisket.
Yes, but I've yet – I don't know. I got to be one of those.
It's time, Jimmy. You're 65 now. Come on.
time to put on my big boy barbecue pants and hit the brisket. We'll see, Andy. Maybe we'll do it. I did also and I think you were around for this. I had I put a full turkey in the smoker.
Yeah, no, I had your smoked turkey. Fantastic. Freaking ridiculous. With the rub? Oh,
yeah. Wasn't that great? So, Andy.
Anyway, stop, because we'll never stop talking about barbecue and food. We have to cut ourselves off here.
That's it. We're like addicts. We got to get cut off, Andy. Let's move on. Let's get back to college football. Let's get back to Penn State football.
Yeah.
Talk about segueing from brisket to Penn State's wide receiver room, Andy. This is all of a sudden I'm going to give you an upset stomach. And I guess this is Jim from Berwick asking Andy, Andy, why can't this team develop a wide receiver room?
Yeah, there's 16 ways we're going to go and you could talk about, and we will. It's, I think it's come down to when I look over, you know, last three, maybe four seasons, but three probably, it has been a slow decline. It has declined each year progressively. And as much as you thought as 2023 was like, well, it can't be that bad. It was, in many ways, it was a little bit worse because the team was at a higher level. So to me, that when I factor that part of it in, it comes down to, you know, you want to lay a lot at the position coach's feet. You want to lay a lot at, and you can. There's plenty of blame to go around. They're not picking the right dudes. They're not picking the right dudes. Maybe a little bit in the portal as well. They're not even finding one or two. Maybe there is not near enough relevant talent development going on that becomes productive enough to say these guys aren't developing. And that's pervasive, Jimmy. That's the one thing across the board. They're not part of a solution. There's not even kind of even an outlier. Was Wallace okay? Yeah, he was okay, but they can't get open. They can't, they're just not relevant in the offense per se. And that comes down to the dudes. To me, it's about the dudes. I just don't think they have chosen over the last 5 years, the wide receivers have not developed because they chose the guys that didn't. They in a 5-year stretch, they chose one position in one room where the development of talent, and coaches are partly responsible for this, the talent development has been significantly below par, not even below average, Jimmy, below acceptable. That means, yes, there's a responsibility that lies with the coach, but there's also a large responsibility that relies with at least one maybe player becoming a contributor. That's hard to find, right? That's been hard to find the last 3 years. So, what's the biggest problem? It's the dudes. That just hasn't happened for them. They're not lazy. They don't work. They're not bad human beings or good kids. They just aren't good enough to make a difference at the next level.
Which, you know, and we could go in this a full circle of, okay, then why don't they get better talent? But I think, Andy.
Yeah, that's a rabbit hole.
Yeah, part of this is just inertia. And if you use, I'm going to use a couple other positions to compare them to. Let's start with tight end. And by inertia, I mean success leads to success. A body in motion will stay in motion. Well, guess what? The tight end position is in motion. You had, you know, Freiermuth and Gesicki and Theo Johnson, and now Tyler Warren, and that begets a Luke Reynolds. And you see now Andrew Olish, that's the next name, folks. That's the incoming class, big-time recruit out of Pennsylvania who initially committed to Michigan at the tight end position. But I got to suspect him seeing what Tyler Warren did this year at Penn State influenced his decision to switch his commitment to Penn State. Compare that to wide receiver. Who's the wide receiver over the last 3 years who would influence a high school football player to say, aha, that's where I want to go play wide receiver at Penn State? Now, the other position, though, I want to bring up, Andy, is just a few years ago, we were talking about the offensive line exactly the way we are currently talking about the wide receiver position. So my point is, could we look at the wide receiver, or I'm sorry, the offensive line position and say, aha, there's how you get out of this mess. So what is it that they did at the offensive line, Andy, that they haven't yet done at wide receiver?
They picked the right dudes. That's pretty simple at the offensive line. The offensive line was just as bad, but it also had a numbers problem. The wide receiver, as you know from the scholarship talk during the last offseason, that wasn't a problem. There was like 12 of them on scholarship. So it wasn't a numbers problem. Penn State, in the development of James Franklin's career and his big move to go at the offensive line coach position, it became a numbers problem because they got stuck in a little bit of a recruiting time warp. But James stuck with the vision and understanding of what they were working towards on the offensive line. And I think that's why his wide receiver coach is staying around. Maybe he's giving him the longer rope. Jimmy, this didn't happen in the offensive line in a season or two. This took 3-4 years to get to where we see it 2 years ago, this year, now. You know what I mean, Jimmy? I think you need a 3 or 4 year rope if you're going to change it. It's just the wide receiver position hasn't even shown us a little bit of a flip, and it's actually probably going in the wrong direction. Where incrementally you could see little nuggets happening at the offensive line position. I give you example, Will Fries, Ryan Bates, Rasheed Wallace, all guys that are playing in the NFL right now. They were part of the offensive line during that dry era. But yet they started picking the right dudes, and it was a little bit of a snowball. The tight end is just a different animal. I'd throw Brenton Strange in there. They know and have always known exactly what they want a Penn State tight end to be, and they have had no problem finding them. But those guys have also developed. Remember Brenton Strange? I remember he's my favorite one. He was like a tweener, right? Like, he's a big kid, but he's not super athletic, but he's got he's a bit of a project. Man, did that kid develop and become something special. They just need one or two wide receivers to do that. And over the last 3-4 years, they really haven't.
I think, Andy, there's one element to the offensive line that you overlooked, and that's Phil Troutwine.
Well, yeah.
They brought in.
He's responsible for it.
He developed, he recruited, and now you feel very good about the position. I think that's going to lead to the question, do they have the right wide receiver coach?
Correct. That's the end of the day, right? Like, he felt confident, and he gave Phil the rope. That's why I said maybe Marcus is getting the rope. Remember the first 3 years, Phil was like, come on, what's this offensive line coach doing? I don't see much. But it took time. Maybe this is the guy. James can be good at it.
All right. Hopefully it does turn out this is the guy. Andy, that is it for our show. Thanks for listening. Make sure you join us next time on the Keystone Kickoff Show.
Every day is a great day to join us at Cafe 210 West to enjoy our daily drink specials. Mondays, it's the Cafe Tea Pitcher for $5. Tuesday, Smirnoff Pitchers for $7. Wednesday, Bacardi Pitchers are $7. And Thursdays, enjoy Cafe Tea Pitchers for $5. All week, we have half-off draft beer and cafe tea from 9 to 11 p.m. and 6 to 8 p.m. on Fridays. So get the gang together and come on down to Cafe 210.